This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we race through the water of the Word of God. Well, last time we were talking and ended with, we were talking about the man behind the curtain and referring to the Wizard of Oz. And really, the man behind the curtain is Satan. And in fact, you know, I don't want to get into basically a trap, which is saying putting all the problems on the Democratic Party and nothing on the Republican Party, because really both are politicians and both have an agenda. So I want to put down who actually is behind all this, and it's the man behind the curtain is Satan. And one of the things I want to go through just very quickly is there's 18 different names for Satan. Okay, and I want to go over them because each of the names of Satan give an insight into his character. It's just like the names of God. We get an insight into what God is like through his names. So the first name we see is he's an accuser, and that's in Revelation 12:10. In other words, he opposes believers before God. He's like a prosecuting attorney before God. And then the other name in 1 Peter 5:8 is he's an adversary. He's against God. And then in Revelation 12:9, we see he is the ancient serpent. And we spent a lot of time talking about serpents and how they were deceivers in the garden. Later on, probably months from now, you'll get into when we go into the plagues. And one of the plagues started with the concept of this serpent. Remember, Moses threw down his staff and it became a serpent. And then he's also called Beelzebub, which is Lord of the Fly. And we see, actually, again, in one of the plagues in Egypt, it was the plague of flies. That's in Matthew 12:24. He's also called Belial, which means worthless. That's in 2 Corinthians 6:15. We see him called Devil, which means slanderer, Matthew 4:1. We see him being destructive as a dragon in Revelation 12:3. We see him as an opponent of God and an enemy of God in Matthew 13:28. We see him as the evil one. He's intrinsically evil in John 17:15. He's the God of this world. Remember, he influences the world in the thinking within the world. It says that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's also a liar. He perverts the truth. That's in John 8:44. He's also a murderer. Leads people to eternal death. A murderer. Also, he's really the God of war. That's in John 8:44. And also, he's the leader of the fallen angels, prince of all the demons. And remember, demon means knowledge. That's in Mark 3:22. He's the prince of the power of the air. He controls unbelievers, not believers, but unbelievers, in Ephesians 2:2. He's a roaring lion who seeks to destroy, in 1 Peter 5:8. He's the ruler of this world, rules the world system. Remember, he's the one that has the power, the exousia, which is the power of legal, and he changes laws and so forth. And then he's also called Satan, which means adversary, in 1 Timothy 5:15. He also is a tempter, solicits people to sin, in 1 Thessalonians 3:5. So we see that he's really a secret manipulator. It's what some people call today the deep state. In other words, something is operating behind everything, behind government, behind election, behind politicians, that's moving this thing forward. And what I want to talk about now is one of the things that you may not recognize it as prophecy today, but I certainly did, and I wanted to bring it out because we just saw, remember, we're talking about Satan's power is exousia, meaning in legal power. And we just saw something happened that President Biden just recently did. And what he did was he took a look at student loans. Now, American students are on the hook for about $1.75 trillion in student loans. And that's according to Educational Data Initiative. 43.2 million students have borrowed an average of $40,000. Now, who's getting the benefit from this? You know, they have to pay as much as 7% interest on this. So who's making out on this? Who are the people who are the asset or creditors of it? Most student loan lenders are large institutions such as international banks and governments. Most student loans are held by a lender, a quasi-government agency like Sallie Mae, a third-party servicing company. President Biden plans to provide for relief for students, and it's going to cost maybe $30 billion a year. So this sounds good. Wow, you got a loan, it's going to be forgiven. There's not a forgiveness of the loan. It's a transference of the loan. And who is going to receive the debt that which the loan of $1.75 trillion, who's going to receive that debt? Because it's not going to be eliminated. And let me just tell you a few things about the debt. I read story after story about students, and one of the stories I'm looking at right now, a story of a woman who took out a loan for $50,000 for her to study school and college. Well, after having it for a while, she now owes $100,000. It's doubled. So in other words, because of interest payments and penalties and so forth, she's doubled her loan without actually taking any more money out. So when we're talking about the loans being forgiven, or at least partially being forgiven, we're talking about loans that now have doubled. So now it's up to $1.75 trillion. So let's take a look at this. And I have to, because I was involved in education all my life, in fact, I went through school, of course, and college, and got two master's degrees, and then taught at colleges. In fact, even when I retired, and when I reached the age of 62, I've been retired for 11 years now, I still continue to teach, but in biblical terms, teaching Bible studies and so forth. So I've never really stopped teaching and stopped in education since I've been 5 years old. In fact, I actually started 4 years old because I went to nursery school. So the big thing is here that I have seen as a big flaw in education is there the difference between higher education, H-I-G-H-E-R, and higher education, big flaw, H-I-R-E. Now, one of the things I experienced in my schooling was when I left the Catholic schools, I went from K all the way through the eighth grade, and then I had to go for 1 year in a junior high school in public school. And one of the things at the end of the day, we had to choose, as we were entering high school now, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, we had to choose a pathway. And I chose the pathway of academics. I intended on going on to college. But there were multiple pathways that you could go on. One of them was to go into business, for example. And when you, or another way was to go into carpentry. Another was auto mechanics. There was metal shop. There were all types of ways that you could go. And one of the things that happened is when you graduated from high school, I then proceeded on to college. But the others that basically sought out business, many of the girls did, and they went right to work. And so did the guys that went into auto shop, they went right to work. And so basically you were independent as a worker right out of high school. You didn't need to go on any further. In fact, it's kind of interesting because the average person who completes 4 years of college, at the end of that, only half of them get a job within 6 months. And today, even longer, they're basically waiting to get a job that they qualified for, but they can't find a job. And one of the things I looked at is kind of interesting. The average person that does find a job, which is only half of them that go to college, okay, they earn about $55,000 a year. Do you know a starting plumber gets $55,000 a year? A dental hygienist who just went to a trade school makes $76,000 a year. Web developers make $73,000 a year. Elevator repairmen make $84,000 a year. And one of the things I notice is every time I need a repair at my house, for example, the air conditioning went up. The guy came and put me in a new air conditioning unit. I found out he had started out as a worker but then ended up owning his own business. He's really well off. In fact, way better off than what college students after graduation are. Remember, when they graduate, they're in debt for tens of thousands of dollars. So one of the things I want to promote is the fact that really trade schools are the way to go today. Why waste your time in taking out loans that are exorbitant and ended up starting life out with loans of $100,000 or more when you can go into a trade school and go right out and have a job? And I think one of the reasons that I see that has happened is this higher education pursuit leading to no job at the end. It's almost like what we're ending up doing is basically having students go to really a country club for 4 years, and I'll get into that in a minute. Now, the average course of tuition and so forth for school, when I went to school, was roughly about $2,000 for the tuition and maybe another $4,000 for room and board. Now, I had something happen to me. I wanted to get away from my mom and dad for a while, and I wanted to go to college. I had a four-year scholarship, but it was only for tuition. And I wanted to really be on campus and live in a dorm, and my parents said no. They didn't want to pay the extra money, and I understood that. But one of the things that they did promise me is that when I became a senior, if I did well and held up all my grades and kept my scholarship, that they would allow me my senior year to go live on campus. Well, what ended up happening is the year that I was to go live on campus, my father lost his job and had to he didn't lose his job. They said the job at Glen O. Martin's that he worked out in the aerospace, he had to go to Denver. And because of that, my parents said, no, we can't really honor that. We're too worried about your father and his new job and so forth. So I didn't get to go. But, you know, it's one funny thing that did happen. When I was on the swimming team, one of the guys that lived in a dorm said, come on over. We're going to have a little party. And I went in and I thought, holy cow, I thought this was going to be some cool place to go. Well, when I went into his room, it smelled of dirty socks. Okay, I could see beer bottles there, and you could smell stale beer. And he had the window open because he was smoking marijuana in there, and he was trying to air it out. And I was really saying, whoa, maybe my parents knew what they were talking about when they said they didn't want me to go and live on campus. But anyway, what used to cost about $2,000 in tuition and another maybe six total, probably closer to five, when I went to school in 1969 or 65 when I started, today the same thing cost $60,000. Whoa, what happened? I mean, I know there's the cost of inflation, but this way, way outdid that. So one of the things I see in colleges today is a pampered college students. In fact, one of the things I was able to do is I was asked to teach at the Center for Talented Youth for Johns Hopkins University, and it was at Franklin and Marshall College. And I was able to live for 3 weeks on campus with the students. This was a high-intensive course. Basically, the students would get a year of high school credit in 3 weeks, and I was teaching biology. So really, the students would have to, in 3 weeks, take a test, and if they passed, they didn't have to take biology in high school. It was really intensive. But, you know, one of the things I saw when I was doing campus, I thought, this is really cool, man. I mean, I got up, I went down to and got a meal, everything, anything I wanted for breakfast, anything I wanted for lunch, anything I wanted for dinner. And then there was campus. There was all kinds of things, swimming pools. There were weight rooms. There were athletic areas that you could go to. I really thought, wow, this is what being in a dorm looks like. It was kind of pretty cool. And one of the things we see today is universities, because they're charging so much money, it's because of what they're providing for the students. High Point University spent $700 million to create a collegiate theme park with a movie theater, steakhouse, and free ice cream. Purdue spent $98 million on a recreation center with three exercise facilities and a 25-person spa and two indoor tracks. Louisiana State University, LSU, spent $85 million on a recreation overhaul and is in progress, including an 8-lane lap pool and 9 tennis courts. In Colorado University, they have a 3,000-foot student recreation center, outdoor leisure pool, and party patio. And University of Houston, $53 million was spent on a recreation center and 1.3 million gallon pool and a 53-foot rock climbing wall. University of Oregon, $50 million on a 150,000 recreation center with a 12-lane pool. So a lot of what's being spent in terms of billions of dollars by colleges is basically creating what I would call a country club for about 4 years. And this is costing a lot of money. So one of the things that bother me about reassigning the debt that students have taken on, they signed a contract. They signed that they were going to have a debt of this money, and they were going to pay it back. And now what's happening is they're going to transfer that debt to a particular group of people. And really, when you look at it and you study it, it's really assigning the debt not to the rich and not to the poor. Poor can't pay it. Rich are protected from it. They're assigning it to the middle class. And one of the things I see is a tremendous amount of debt is purposely being placed on the middle class to destroy the middle class. And we'll get into that a little later. So we see a pampered group of students, and yet with their pamperedness, with all these things that they have, and all the money, and you know, it really bothers me that I'm not just paying for their education, so to speak. I'm paying actually for them to have facilities of very similar to what a country club. And I think I have a little bit of reluctance to not only pay for a country club atmosphere for these students, but also remember the debt is doubled because of the interest in the payments. And we're trying to assign that basically to the middle class again. So, you know, I can't help but think about this in this terms of Matthew 18, 32 to 35, about the parable. And the parable was the Lord summoned him and said to him, remember the wicked, the servant that actually he forgave all his debt? You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you beseeched me and should not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in anger, the Lord delivered him to jailers till he should pay all the debt. Remember, he was forgiven the debt and then he went out and started creating the debt on someone else. This is sort of very similar to what I see happening with this. So we see what, you know, was being set up. There were a lot of books written on this. The Deep State is one of them. Saboteurs, America's Secret History. These are all basically showing off what we call the cabal of inflicting damage on the middle class. And this is what I see in terms of that. And this is all tied in with, we talked about this before, about no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and hate the other, or devoted to one and devote the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And one of the things that really irritate me about us assuming the debt of someone else is the fact that they actually have increased the debt because of the penalties. And why not just forgive the debt of the original cost of what they forgave? No, they're actually putting this money into the bankers and the institutions that have loaned the money. And you know what? The government has backed it up. They say, listen, don't worry. If they don't pay it, we'll end up coming up with it. And so that's what we see happening now. In fact, they knew, just like they knew during the housing crisis, when they were issuing all these loans to people who they knew could never pay them back as the interest rate grew, we're seeing the same thing happen here. So power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we see this over and over again. And one of the things I want to bring out is exactly what's happening. Remember, we're looking at the power of Satan as being exousia, the legal power. And legal power is being targeted against the middle class. They have to destroy the middle class. And I'm going to get into exactly all the things that have been done to destroy the middle class, but I'll just mention some of them now. Okay, higher taxes and a bigger welfare state. Who's going to pay for that? It's the middle class. And, you know, one of the things that really bothered me is I discovered something, which is in the news constantly. It's about, do we have enough to pay Social Security? Okay, and one of the things you have to understand about Social Security is there's a cap on it. If you earn over $147,000, all the money after that, you don't pay any Social Security on it. Do you know how we could easily, in one swoop, we could stop all the worry about Social Security? Is take the cap off. In other words, you have a guy like, for example, like one of the men that we see that are earning billions of dollars. They earn all this money and they don't pay any tax, Social Security tax, on anything over $147,000. This is ridiculous. This is causing a great drain and worry because all the ones that are paying for it are basically, again, the middle class. Remember, the poor, they don't have enough money. Okay, so they're putting it on this. So, you know, one of the guys that really was involved with this deeply and got a big break was Musk, Elon Musk. He got a bonus of $700 million, a performance bonus. You know how much Social Security he paid? Nothing. Do you think that if he would have just had to pay the 15% that we have to pay that are working? I was a teacher, so 7.5% was paid by me. 7.5% was matched by my employer. But he didn't pay anything. Now, do you think it really would have hurt him if he would have had to pay about $90 million to Social Security? It wouldn't have hurt him. He still was getting $610 million. But here's a man that is worth $152 billion, and in 2015 and 2017, he paid nothing. Nothing. Okay, so what is this fair? And we could solve this problem so easily. And I want to just look at it. I'm looking at a scale here of what happened to the middle class and since I actually went into the workforce in 1962. Around then, it was about 60% of the people in America were considered middle class. Okay. Now, as the government has steadily eroded the middle class, today, where it used to be 60%, we're down to below 50% considered middle class. Where have they gone? They've been wiped out by taxes. So, you know, we want to save the middle class, and one of the things we see is socialism basically destroys the middle class. So one of the things is, you know, Social Security could easily be solved. And you know what? Why in the world don't they simply take off the cap? What's the problem with just taking off the cap? You know why? Because our senators and our congressmen, most of them are millionaires, and they don't even want to pay Social Security on over $147,000 that they earn. They are not going to vote that. It's not going to happen. So, you know, this is kind of a big tragedy because we see these a lot of problems could be solved. You know, all the problems that we have with basically influence by people like the people that are influenced the government in the pharmaceutical industry, in the basically in the military industrial complex, you know, they're all basically supplying our politicians with money for their campaign contributions. We're providing them with money for their for trips to Vegas, to trips and flying and anywhere in the world they want to go. All these things are influencing them. They're not really looking out for the people. And so, you know, we even see it in the Department of Justice. You know, one of the recent things that happened during COVID is a lot of people in nursing homes died. And where they had died mostly was in five Democrat governors-controlled states. One was in New York. One was in Michigan. Another was in New Jersey. These people actually were in California also. So we have Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, California, and Michigan. And what they did was something almost inexcusable. When they had patients that had COVID, they put them with COVID into nursing homes. This resulted in tens of thousands of deaths. This was big news when it first happened. And Cuomo was really one on the chopping block for this. Because, you know, he had done it and it made the news and all the and a lot of people that had parents that had died were very upset with this. And it was all buried. It was buried by the media. You know, this was very similar to what happened when a statement was made about one of the guys, Spike Lee, mentioned this. I wouldn't put anything past the U.S. government when it comes to people. They have a history of going back to the U.S. Army, gave smallpox infested blankets to Native Americans. It was basically what they did. No one, not Cuomo, not Tom Well, not Phil Murphy, not Gavin Newsom, not Gretchen Whitmer, none of them suffered anything for basically killing tens of thousands of the elderly by putting. These were the only five that did it. The other 45 governors did not do this. They did not send patients who had COVID into nursing homes. This was really a great sin, and no one ever suffered for it. The Department of Justice mentioned, well, we're going to look into it, and they did what? They looked into a few nursing homes, and they ignored the big problem. In fact, you can see this in one of the movies that was popular called Logan's Run, where people were limited to a lifespan of like 40 years, and then they were put out the pasture, so to speak, and killed. Okay, so I want to go into this because this destruction of the middle class is very insidious, and it's really going to cause exactly what I was worried about, which is the one world order, where you have two classes, the elite and you have the rest. Okay, and this happened in the patronage of the Roman society. There were two classes, the upper class and the lower class. In the Hellenistic Roman world, the majority of people depended on the wealth of a few people for their livelihood. This led to a hierarchical system of patrons, the elite, and the clients and the dependents. A client was simply supported by a Roman family, a rich Roman family. And this is what we're worried about happening in America today, this client patron system, which has happened before, and it happened really dramatically in the Soviet Union. To get into a socialist country where we have everybody in one class except for the ruling elite again, there was a group of people in Russia at the time when Stalin was there called kulaks. And the kulaks, it's basically a reference to ownership among peasants who were considered actually part of the society, and they basically, the kulak was originally referred to as wealthy peasants who basically had a home. They were still peasants, but they had ownership of their home. And what happened? Millions were literally put to death by Stalin, 6 million, and basically their wealth was confiscated. This same thing happened in China. The destruction of the middle class happened in the Soviet Union, to where we have basically a socialistic society, of which there's a small ruling elite, and the rest are basically the masses. Same thing happened in China. And Mao Zedong took over. In 1945, he started what they called was the Great Leap Forward, okay? And the Great Proletariat Cultural Revolution. The same thing happened again. During that, millions were killed. Some people believe as many, and the number is really hidden. Literally, tens of millions were killed, okay? And basically, they had social changes, and they had a big motto: abolish the four olds, old customs, old culture, old habits, and old ideas. And basically, they attacked churches, they attacked the education. You know, to me, I like, give me that old-time religion, okay? And basically, they were doing rid of all the old cultures that had been established. And this we see happening, that we saw happening in the Great Leap Forward that Mao did. Okay, we see that now happen in America. So, like America, leftists such as Soros and the basically a group of people called the Organization for Action, the OFA, we see they're moving towards the same thing, a destruction of the middle class. We saw it in Russia when they dissolved the Kulak system, and in Mao when they basically want their Great Leap Forward, killing as many as tens of millions of people. Some of the results that I see is basically 30 million died. This is all during the Mao's basically rebellion against the middle class. We want two classes of people, the elite, the rulers, and so forth. In fact, they even did something kind of unbelievable. They also, because they saw sparrows were eating some of their food, they decided to poison all the sparrows. And after they did that, a huge epidemic of locusts appeared in China and ate the crops, and 20 million died from that little venture itself. So we see, you know, we see that these efforts to do away with the middle class and to create a two-class system, it's exactly what the New World Order wants. You, excuse me. You see this in 1984. You see where a disinformation program. We saw it with William Casey, a CIA director. And this is a quote from him. We'll know our disinformation program is complete when every American public believes it is false. So they want to basically take what's untrue and turn it into something that's false. Read this again. This is kind of interesting. Well, no, our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. That's what we're headed toward. And it starts exactly with the destruction of the middle class. And, you know, this is basically a cabal, because we see all the different organizations, whether it's the Department of Justice, the FBI, Homeland Security, EPA, all these different organizations. And I'll just focus right now on one, the FBI. Remember the FBI, they supported the Russian collusion hoax. We saw that this was manufactured. The Gretchen Wiemer kidnapping case, blamed it on Trump. All these different things were blamed on Trump. We'll get into that next time as to how the government is basically pursuing him as a person that's promoting the middle class. Okay. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at comcast.net.
Ground so strong that lays beneath my feet. Yeah. You are the air I breathe, and without you there'd be no me. You are the thing.